In Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, the word of the most holy God says this: "My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I don't know. Do we have somebody to teach children's church? Well, then why didn't you take them out? Well, we'll just blame Ruth Ann because she's not here. She believed the bulletin. We told you not to believe the bulletin. Yeah? We're going to go get them for that. Yeah. Don't believe the bulletin. No, we're going to do communion after.
I just thought maybe you'd be busy from all the activities.
No. Believe it or not, I have a plan. Even without my preaching Bible. Not know if the person who asks the question is here today. But one of the questions in this, the preacher, or the hard questions we want to ask the Bible, one of those that was turned in was, how do we know if we are being charitable or if we're enabling people? How can we tell the difference? And the scripture that we read today gives us those things that we need in order to make that determination of whether we are giving somebody a hand up or a hand out. And it begins with the very beginning of that when it talks about the difference between burdens and loads. You notice that it said in there that we must help each other carry their burdens, but everyone has to carry their own load. So we look at that and go, wait a minute, that just sounds awfully confusing. But it's not really, because burdens and loads are different things. A burden are problems or concerns that cannot be carried alone. There's so many things that we need that we have to have help carrying. When there's a death, we can't carry that by ourselves. We need others to help us bear that burden. When things come up in life, all the things that come up in life, isn't it so much easier if there's somebody there to share that with you? Somebody there that will help you carry that? I don't think there's anything that I've done in my life that was really worthwhile that I didn't have somebody sharing the load. You know, it talks about people thinking more of themselves than they ought to. That's because you think, I did this on my own. But we help each other. I would not have made it through school. I definitely wouldn't have made it through seminary without Gary Lankford. I would not have made it through seminary without him, because there was so many times as we went through that. It was a very trying time. It was a very poor time. It was all of the, you know, it seemed like there was burdens every which way you turned. And if I hadn't had him, I probably would have quit. Because there was times I just said, I don't want to do this, God. I just wanted to stomp my little feet and say, you know, I don't want to do this and you can't make me. But he shared the burden. And so, and we both made it. So, I mean, it's all of those things that we can't do alone. It reminds me of life, because we start out like this right here. And she can't feed herself or care for herself, but she thinks she can. And then we get older and somebody's holding us by the hand again. And that's okay. We are responsible, the scripture we just read says, for bearing one another's burdens. Where we get into trouble is when we carry somebody else's load. A load is the share that each person has of their work in life. We all have our share. That's for us. It's not too heavy for us. God is always with us. He gives us the load that we have. So he knows just exactly what we can carry and what we can't. And instead of carrying somebody else's load, we are responsible for teaching them to carry their own. That is difficult to do because we like to help. The problem is knowing where to draw the line, and people have to bear their own load. It gets a lot harder if you haven't started with them when they're young. Responsibilities, and they need to be held accountable for their responsibilities. Because they're going to be held accountable the whole rest of their life. The sooner you learn, the easier it is. But we have so many people who just shun their responsibility. They don't carry their load. They want to chuck their load over on somebody else. Let somebody else do this. I had a secretary one time that she said this. They only pay me enough to show up. They don't pay me enough to actually work. That didn't go over well. It did not. We each have our own portion of what we're supposed to do. We have a work life. We have a personal life. We have our spiritual lives. And we all have our share. And if you're not doing your part, then somebody else has to take up the slack. What is it they say? The 20-80 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's not how it ought to be. Everybody needs to do their part. In every aspect of life. You need to do your part in your own home. You need to do your part wherever you work for wages. And you need to do your part in church. You need to do your part. Whatever that part is. And it doesn't mean that the workload is divided equally. That, you know, John has 14% and Peggy has 14%. No, it means that we are given according to the gifts that we've been given as to what we do. So it's not everybody spends the same number of hours or the same everything. It is everyone does according to what they have been gifted with, because to whom much has been given, much is required. But So that's the first way that we figure out between a hand up and a hand out. But there's another part of this that sometimes is even harder for us, and that is when sin is involved. And there is a difference, according to the scripture that we just read, there is a difference between a single action of sin and a lifestyle of sin. There's a difference. Because it talks about transgression, and that is not following the Spirit's leading, having a lapse of wisdom. Sometimes that is inadvertent. I don't know if you can really, can y'all really tell what this guy's doing? He is on a roller coaster on roller skates. Yeah, so this is one of those times, a transgression is, it sounded really good at the time. You know, it seemed like it'd be the thing to do at the time. When someone does something stupid, then it's up to us to restore the fallen one. When I was in a church in Knoxville, we had a public figure who fell very publicly. He was arrested with a prostitute. It was horrid. It was horrid for his family. It was just a terrible, awful thing. Of course, he lost his position. There was some penalties, legal penalties to pay. And when he started coming back to church, he'd wait until after the service was started, everybody was sitting down, he'd slip in, he'd sit on the back pew, and then he would slip out before anybody had a chance to speak to him. And then he started, it was coming in a little bit late, but he started moving up. He started moving up. First, you know, I was on the back pew, and then he moved up a couple of pews, and then he moved up another couple of pews, and then he started coming on time and allowing people to speak to him and, you know, not slipping out early. And he finally got back to where he usually sat there on the fourth pew. Now, his marriage was over. His career was over. But the church lifted the fallen one, as we should do. We lifted the fallen one, and he was restored to fellowship, which is the goal God has, is the restoration of fellowship with him and with the body. And that is our responsibility. But sometimes the sinfulness becomes a lifestyle. It is deliberate rebellion. Most of the time it's people trying to fulfill a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And what we are called to do is to allow that person to feel the consequences of their action. When this is someone that you love, that is the hardest thing God would ever ask you to do. The number one hardest thing you will ever have to do is to let someone you love suffer the consequences of their action, because we love them and we want to rescue them. We want to rescue them. I've been in this position. I bet you have too. And I have rescued when I should not have. Because the hardest thing in the world is to let somebody feel their own consequences, and you want to protect them. But this is where the sowing and reaping comes in. I would much rather reap here than there. And it is not a kindness to rescue people sometimes. How many times have we rescued people as a church? There's been some, you know, there's been some people that we've rescued and rescued and rescued and rescued. And, you know, at a certain point you have to say, no, this is a lifestyle for you. This is not, you know, this is not just poor circumstances or bad judgment. This is your lifestyle. But, oh, how do you do it when it wrenches your heart? The only way that I can tell you that you can receive comfort in times like that is to say, Lord, help me. Because he's going to use that time for good. And if we pull somebody out of a situation, sometimes what we've done is we've taken them out of the place where God could teach them. We think higher of ourselves than we ought, and we play God. How are you going to know the difference? How are you going to know when to step in and when not? These are times when you don't. Romans 16, 17 through 18. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses in opposition to the teaching that you have learned. Avoid them. Such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. Some people can just talk their way out of anything. And we've all talked our way out of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Who here has talked their way out of something? Who here's talked their way out of a ticket? Ah, then. Yeah. On the way to Kentucky, I was with my sister Sherry, and we were just jabbering away, and I wasn't paying attention. I was doing 80. That's really not what you do in Kentucky. And this state trooper was hiding in the median, as they do there, and I went past, and I saw him, and I said, I got to get off. Sherry goes, nah, he ain't pulling out. So I passed my only exit, and there he was. And my niece, who was traveling behind us, pulled up to where he couldn't pull in behind me. And he finally waved her off, and she backed off, and he got behind me and turned on the light. I said, I told you I should have got off. And so here we are, and we've got, you know, he was young, bless him. And so here's Sherry and I. We were the couple of hicks from the sticks, and we were just chatting, and we acted like we were so glad to see him we couldn't hardly stand it. And he asked for my registration, which I knew was somewhere in my glove compartment, but my glove compartment really was full. I had a stack of stuff like this in there. So I said, sure, hand me that. So she hands it to me, and I've got it in my lap, and I'm just going through, and we're just chit-chatting away as I'm going through the stack hunting for my registration. And he was just kind of, oh, no, wait, I've got it. You know, just, finally, he said, ma'am, just slow down for me, and turned around, walked away shaking his head. And I looked over at Sherry, and I said, we're going to hell, you know. And she said, we didn't say anything that wasn't true. I said, it's not what we said, it's how we said it. But we all try to talk our way out. That's what this is. People who cause problems and then try to talk their way out. It wasn't me. wasn't my fault. You know, the people who always, it's always somebody else's fault. People who say that this is always somebody else's fault, they're looking for a hand out, not a hand up. And then in Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, it says, I wrote you in my letters not to associate with sexually immoral persons. Not at all meaning the immoral of the world or the greedy and robbers and idolaters, since you would then need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother or sister who is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or a robber. Do not even eat with such a one. In other words, if I told you not to associate with any bad people, you couldn't associate with anybody. But if someone is calling themselves your brother or sister in Christ and doing this without repentance, then your responsibility is to stay away, because they don't want a hand up. They want a hand out. They're not sorry for what they did there, but they're awfully sorry they got caught. If you apply this, it's hard. I'm not going to tell you this is easy, but it is simple. It's actually pretty simple to see who wants a hand out and who wants a hand up. But then we have another thing in the mix. What if they have children? We as a church have helped people that I normally would not have helped, but they have little kids. And those little kids can't help it that their parents won't work to pay the electric bill. Those little kids can't help it that their parents won't work, so they've got something to eat. And then in the name of Christ, what we do is for the children, to keep their water, to keep their electricity, to make sure that they have food, roof over their head. Because folks, we are always called to help the helpless. So yeah, mom and daddy may have the first shoot. I'm sorry, that's just what I used to say. Doesn't mean I think we ought to shoot people, but you know what I mean. You always have to help the child, because children are so precious, particularly this one. Life is hard, and we have to bear one another's burdens, but we each are also called to carry our own load. So when you see someone, live a life of the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God direct you as to who you help and who you don't. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.